A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early, coming out June 29th. It's 9 days from now. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. That's at VSiN.com/subscribe. Once again, VSiN.com/subscribe for the summer kickoff special. Just $175. Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. We love to have him on the show whenever he has the time. Man's got two kids. He's got things to do. He's also got a podcast called Hardwood Handicappers, which he does with our own Kelly Bidlin, available at VSiN.com/podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. He's our senior NBA analyst. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
My head is spinning. There's a lot going on in the NBA draft rumor world. We know nothing, so I feel very confused right now, Gil.
We know nothing. I don't know if you we were just going through a couple mocks from this morning, and it's just ridiculous. Now, let me just we do want to caveat one of the mocks that we just did. So the one that I just talked about was from CBS Sports, and Matt Norlander did something. I guess if we're reading in the fine print, he did something different. He didn't do a mock draft. He didn't do a big board. He ended up doing what he called a mock draft, but it was like who he thinks was going to be the best players in 10 years. So let's throw that one out.
Yeah. I don't understand how that made it.
Because don't attach those to teams then. But your Gavoni one is off the rails too. JVT, you have your own mock draft. Has any of this stuff swirling given you pause?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. The big one is, I think what's happening with Cam Whitmore out of Villanova, I think that's like the big one, because for anybody who hadn't been following this up to this point, Cam Whitmore, by all accounts, since this draft process has started, has always been floating inside that top five range. Five always seemed to be a ceiling. I mean, back in, Kelly can correct me, I think we had Raphael Barlow from the NBA Big Board back in May, and we talked about Cam Whitmore wasn't going to get past five.
Yep.
And there was no indication that that was going to be the case up until last night, where Jonathan Gavoni goes on SportsCenter and says, oh, yeah, Whitmore's falling, and that's going to be represented in my mock draft. And then you open up the mock draft this morning, and Whitmore is all of a sudden the ninth overall selection for the Utah Jazz. And the fact that it happens this week, I think, gives me a little trepidation as like, is that legitimate information we're getting, or is that something that's happening that's getting put out there by whoever wants him, whether it be four or five, whatever it's going to be? I just don't know. But I think that to me is the big one, because Whitmore is almost like a linchpin. If Whitmore is going to go number four, for example, well, that would cause Amen Thompson to slide potentially to number six, which is what I had in my mock draft. And if that's going to happen, that means guys like a Jairus Walker could potentially slide down to like seven or something. So it's a really big deal, I think, for Whitmore, because there was no indication up until the last 12 hours that this dude was going to be anything but a top five pick. And now all of a sudden he's on the fringes of the top 10, according to at least one industry insider.
Yeah. That was the Gavoni mock draft that we just read earlier that has him there. You also, and we can go through these one by one, but you have Amen before Asar, which we're seeing opposite in some places as well, just in terms of matchups. Jairus Walker, we're seeing a lot of difference with him. Anthony Black, I mean, all these guys, right? That's what Kelly and I were talking about off air. If it were just Cam Whitmore, then you could isolate on him and like, oh, wow, there's a difference of opinion on Cam Whitmore. But honestly, it feels like everybody now, except for, I will say the one exception, I do agree with, so everybody knows about Wembanyama, but I do kind of feel like the only thing else I might know right now is that Scoot is going to. Does it feel that way to you?
Yo, see, here's the thing, and this is what's fascinating, and actually I just put a piece up on the website right now, kind of sifting through all the rumors and the intel that we've seen up to this point. This is the one where the market seems to be at odds with some of the information that we're getting. So, for example, you know, we have the Scoot Henderson's the $2.50 favorite to go number two. Brandon Miller's the $2.50 favorite to go number three. However, 2 days ago, Adrian Wojnarowski reports that industry, you know, people in front offices are penciling, he's put it, Scoot Henderson to go number two. And then, Brandon Miller to go number two. And then you have Jonathan Gavoni in his latest mock draft saying, yeah, Scoot Henderson showing out some of these workouts, but we still have Miller going number two. But the odds are completely flipped. So it's really interesting to look at something like that and see what's happening. I would think that that means that maybe there's some information out there that one of these trades or both of these trades are happening. And what I mean by that is Charlotte getting out of that number two spot for somebody to go in and get Scoot Henderson, which would be the New Orleans Pelicans, the Portland Trailblazers getting out of three. Pascal Siakam is the name there. And Toronto's going to get up and potentially get Brandon Miller there. So it's really weird, because if the teams stick where they're at, every bit of information says it's going to be Miller number two and Scoot Henderson number three, but the odds say Scoot Henderson number two and Brandon Miller number three. And it's all over the place.
What makes the most basketball sense if there are no trades? The Hornets should take...
I think in basketball sense, it would be Brandon Miller, but I do think Scoot Henderson fits better than most people think. But if I'm building the team, I think it's probably going to be Brandon Miller, just because you already have LaMelo Ball. He's a wing player, 3-and-D type. Everybody covets those. He fits seamlessly next to him. With Scoot Henderson, you can make it fit, but there's going to be a little bit of work there. And we see like those two dominant guard teams, i.e. like the Atlanta Hawks. You got some stuff to really work out if you got two dominant guards there that could ultimately flash out, but we don't really know yet. So I think if you're talking about most basketball sense, Brandon Miller, if Charlotte's going to be there, would be the pick.
And your spider sense is on a Zion trade? High?
Yeah. I think this is interesting because, I'll actually bring in the Phoenix Suns to this, Gil. We've seen what new ownership can do in terms of changing the course of a team. By all accounts, Matt Ishbia had his fingerprints all over the Kevin Durant trade, and he really had a strong push behind this Bradley Beal trade. And I bring that up because Charlotte is exchanging ownership, right? Michael Jordan is now shifting to a minority owner, and new owners want to drum up some excitement for their product. And what better way to do that than to get the kid who played, right, college up the street. And when you look at the excitement of what Zion Williamson and LaMelo Ball could be together, when you're talking about running in transition, playing an exciting brand of basketball, I think it's a little bit more of a reality than we think. And almost every single mock draft that you read, guys like Rafael Barlow and others, there is that note that still this is being talked about as a potential that the Charlotte Hornets are going to get out of that selection. So I would say that it's more realistic than most think, but I do think it's shifted from Portland being potentially the team to Charlotte potentially being the team to land Zion.
Zion 35-1 to win the MVP, no matter where he plays. I'll say this. I said at the beginning of the show, let me be the, I feel like I'm on an island. I would trade for Zion 100 out of 100 times. I know the health. I mean, not being able to get in shape after the injuries. I know the off the court stuff. Give me that dude. I'll take my chances because he's amazing.
Off the court stuff.
Yeah. The off the court stuff. I hear she's lovely, JVT. I hear she's lovely.
She's still tweeting. Yeah. That's pretty incredible.
She's still tweeting. That's right. Okay, let me ask it this way because I want to finish with your thoughts on the Bradley Beal thing real quick. But how many bets have you made that you regret thus far, and how many more do you think you will make?
I don't really regret. Like, so for example, Kelly and I, we talked about this a couple of months back. We both got some pretty good plus prices on Brandon Miller to go with the second overall pick. It's still better than the prices that are out there. So, it might be wrong, but you don't really regret that that's going to be the fact, especially because there's some conflicting intel. And I think there's going to be a couple more. Like, for example, it's a boring bet, but one of the things I've been surprised about, Grady Dick has been nowhere near the top 10. And he's like, I shouldn't say nowhere near. He's been solidly at 11. Like, I've never seen him leak inside of the top 10 in any mock draft that I have read. And yet his draft position prop is 10.5, shaded to the over -250. I think that price is pretty safe to bet, just given the fact that there's been no indication that Grady Dick's going to find his way inside. And in fact, there's some indications that he might be a little bit further down than most people think. So I think that's one to definitely start to add to your portfolio. And one that I did add was a small ticket on Bilal Coulibaly at 10-1 to go number 9. Barlow over at NBA Big Board has reported that the Jazz want Kante George with their second first round pick, and he wants Bilal Coulibaly with the 9th overall pick. And I think that's something that could happen. So took flyers on that.
So great hearing like some of these French announcers pronounce Bilal Coulibaly.
I did. Yeah. I bet so him great. To go top 10 last night at over 2-1.
Who?
Yep.
Bilal Coulibaly.
Oh, okay.
But then, of course, Gavoni's mock draft, I think, had him at 16 today. Yep. So cool.
Sweet. But you'll tread lightly from between now and then. I mean, JVT's Intel report, by the way, and his mock draft at vsin.com. Check him out today because JVT's all over all of this. So it's going to be, again, top 10. You can bet all these things. Yep. Good on the books that have multiple markets for the NBA draft over 48 hours away. Real quick in our last 60 seconds, Bradley Beal, I mean, I think from just a basketball viewing standpoint, we're all excited to see those three guys, Book, KD, and Beal playing with each other. But you're with me on the fact that this doesn't really move the championship needle for you that much?
Absolutely. In fact, I told Kelly, I can't wait to find ways to bet against them. And I just don't really love it from a championship build. Hey, look, if they play a bunch of games, they're going to win a lot of regular season games potentially, but the NBA postseason is different. You've got to be able to attack the glass. You've got to have depth. Those are things that this Phoenix Suns, at least as currently constructed, do not have. And I just don't know where you're going to go and get that. And sure, like, can you flip DeAndre Ayton for some bodies for your bench and then go get any one of the free agent centers that is going to be available? I guess. But that's just not something that I think is going to benefit you as a team. And again, I know it sounds crazy because they're all elite mid-range scorers, but if you're going to build a team around mid-range shooting and not take a whole bunch of threes, you're going to lose that math battle more often than not. You're not going to be able to get on the glass. I don't know who's playing defense for that team under Frank Vogel. I just don't really like the mix overall as a championship team. So maybe they go over their win total if everybody's going to be healthy. That's a big question. But I'm with you. Like, moving them up to the third choice to win the NBA Finals, I don't get it.
Ishby's calling the league office right now. He's like, can we play with only six players all year? Is that allowed? Are we allowed to do that? Four on the court at once. JVT, good luck with all the bets, man. Should be fun on Thursday.
Yep, can't wait, guys. Thank you very much.
Jonathan Montobel, again, VSiN.com for his intel report and for his latest mock draft. Not sure if he's going to have one more prior to the draft itself on Thursday night. A lot of players going different places, NBA and NFL. Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins, Dame Lillard, Draymond. You can bet on them all. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we're giving you our 2023 NFL guide early, coming out June 29th. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's football week next week here on the network as well. We're calling it football week. What are we calling it, Kelly? Football week. That's what I'm calling it.
Sure. There you go.
Football every show.
Countdown to kickoff.
Not the whole show, but every show's got football in it.
Yes.
Countdown to kickoff.
For 3 months.
I think that's used. Yes. So we look forward to that as well. That that chuckle you hear in the background is that of a gentleman who spent the entire break just talking about Greek food. So all of us are unbelievably hungry now.
I got a car.
let's do that. Meraki, here we come. It's Chrissy Andrews, everybody. My mishpucha, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook.
Can I get kick it?
With Chrissy.
Can I kick it?
I'm sorry. We apparently do not have editorial control.
Oh, okay.
Yes. These decisions.
Just because it's your show.
No, these decisions are made without consultation.
Okay. Yeah.
Great to see you.
Thank you. Yeah, you too.
You got like a burgundy and gold South Point shirt.
Yeah, I got a South Point shirt.
Feels Washington football teamy. Feels a little FSU.
Oh, really?
Feels a little USC Trojans.
Okay, I'll go for that one.
A little Arizona State. So you are here. We always have you on during football season for guessing lines. Obviously on Monday, we have you off season here on Tuesdays. But for those who missed it a couple weeks ago, Spanky gave us the honor of you getting to announce some of the names that are going to be inducted into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. This is all part of Bet Bash 3 specifically, which is taking place from August 8th to the 11th. A professional sports betting networking conference, Bet Bash is, Spanky presenting it. And one of the new developments of Bet Bash in this version of Bet Bash 3 is a Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. And I mentioned before the break, six names have already been inducted, including at the very top, we talked about Lefty Rosenthal and Roxy Roxborough among the first few inductees. But you came on here and you were able to give a couple names a couple weeks ago. Bob mm-hmm. Martin, the Babe mm-hmm. Ruth mm-hmm. of all things, the man who generated the line
yeah.
here as well. And by the way, Bob Martin and, of course, last time you inducted.
Who else did Jackie Gaughan?
Jackie Gaughan, of course.
Yeah, okay.
You are here to induct, and so there's six total that we went through. You are here to announce the seventh name that will be inducted come Bet mm-hmm. Bash, and that name, sir, is?
Very special to me, Jack Franzi, my uncle. If you read my first book, Then One Day, he's kind of like the star of the book, and it's dedicated to him. I knew he was, he was in his 90s, not doing well. I wanted to get that book out before he passed away. And he wasn't able to read it himself, but his son, Zach, read the whole thing to him, and he, had a smile on his face the whole time. So he's very important to me. Like I've had a lot of influential people in my career, none more than Jack. I mean, I have some great stories about how I even learned this business, but I remember one of the very first ones is I knew what 11 to 10 was. I can't even tell you how old I was. I mean, I've been four or five. I knew what 11 to 10 was. And I remember one guy come on and complain, and he says, can you believe this one bookmaker, I got to lay 6 to 5 now instead of 11 to 10. And the guy walks away, and I remember asking my Uncle Jack, what's worse, 6 to 5 or 11 to 10? He says, if you want to win 10 and you're laying 11 to 10, how much is it? Well, 11. If you were laying, if you want to win 10 and it's 6 to 5, how much is it? 12. Which one's worse?
Your fractions came into play.
You know, I mean, I couldn't have been more than 6 or 7 when I had that lesson, you know.
But explain to folks, Jack, you said he's your uncle Jack that you talked about, obviously your cousin Zach as well. But your uncle Jack, and by the way, your cousin Zach will induct him at Bet Bash. Yes.
I will introduce Jack, and Zach will accept.
Oh, and Zach will accept. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. You tell many an Uncle Jack story in your book,
so
Then One Day.
Yeah.
You basically grew up in his house?
Yeah. Divorce wasn't so popular at that point in time. And he divorced his wife. You know, we're a big Greek family. They all moved in with us. You know, our house wasn't very big. We had 4 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms, you know. We had 8 of us living there at one time, you know. And you know how you grow up. You just think, oh, yeah, that's just normal, you know. And then later on,
that was your normal.
It really wasn't that normal. But, I can't remember when I didn't know what Jack did for a living. You know, that's what he did. Well, I got some great stories.
And what did he do? So besides,
he was a bettor. Now, you know, he got indicted for some different things for bookmaking, and he said he was never really like a serious bookmaker. He was a bettor. But you know how it is. Like if I call you up and say, Gil, can you get me a nickel on the Redskins? You know, and you say, yeah. At that point in time, you've become a bookmaker. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the federal. Definition of it. So he got in, but they beat all those indictments, and that's when he came out. That was 1970, and that's when he came out to Las Vegas. But I have a few minutes here to tell you some of the stories like that Jack told me. Like, I guess in high school he kind of was a bookmaker. Do you know that bet, Gil? And I was trying to think about it this morning, where you pick 3 guys to get 4 hits in baseball. This was a very, this is back in, this is back in the 40s when baseball was the sport, So Jack had it, when he was
three
in high school.
Three guys to get 4
And
hits.
He told me, he says, if Ted Williams went 0-for-4, he says, you didn't even have to look at the rest of them. there was no way anybody got it.
This is awesome.
Yeah. So, so this was like the 40s. So he was booking that. And then he had the other one that guys could bet him. Would the winning team score more runs in one inning than the other team scored in the entire game? And he says, well, first of all, you win every shutout.
Yeah.
You win every shutout. He says, and, it wasn't like a slam dunk. I mean, there was some bookmaking involved. So he had to, he lost occasion on that. But he said it was a huge moneymaker for him in high school, And
it's awesome that he was doing it in high school.
He was doing it in high school. Then Michael Gaughan hired him. Let me kind of back that story up. When Michael Gaughan started the sports book, he had Jimmy Vaccaro was a dealer, and he went to Jimmy and he said, do you know anything about running a sports book? And Jimmy said, yeah, he knew Jimmy Bett and stuff like that. He says, not really. He goes, I've been a bettor. He goes, well, good. We can learn together. So they started, and originally Michael was only licensed to book parlay cards, nothing else. And then after a while, the parlay cards were a lot of gravy back then.
And this is at what property?
This is at the Royal Inn in early to mid-70s. I'd say 75-ish. Anyway, then he gets licensed to have a full sports book. And that's when he hires Jimmy. But Jimmy tells him, he says, I'm going to need some help getting these numbers. Because when they started out, Jimmy would just go to the Stardust, go to Churchill Downs, right down the line, and they'd come in and open. And Jimmy would say, hey, I need some help just, getting all these numbers up. And he says, I know a guy. He says, Jack Franzen, because we knew the Vaqueros, our whole lives. So Jimmy recommended Jack. So Michael checked with Jackie Gaughan, his dad. And Jackie said, you can't get anybody better than Jack. That would be perfect. So he hires Jack.
Because Jack had been betting into him?
Because Jack. Yeah, there's some other funny stories there, too. Anyway, Jack had been betting into him, and so Jackie said, you know, yeah, hire Jack Franzi. So I was about, so I'm trying to think. So I'm born 50, so this is like 75. I'm about 19 years old. First paycheck Jack gets from Michael Gaughan, he calls me up. What the hell is all this stuff that they take out of my paycheck? What is, now...
Kelly still says that today.
Yeah, well, yeah, all of us kind of do. Yeah. Every day. So I'm trying to think. So Jack's 28 years older than me. So I'm like 19. So he's, what, 47? First time he ever got a paycheck in his life. Never had a paycheck. Never had a paycheck.
Just betting for the first 47 years of his life.
Betting, hustling, you know, doing this and that. He calls me up. What the? I thought I was getting, you know, whatever it is, you know, $1,000. But instead, I only got like 700 something. They're taking all this stuff.
What a scam.
Welcome to the working world. I remember that. I mean, this is, I mean, he's incredulous that, you know, you have to pay out. I mean, I'm sure he's been paying some sort of income tax. But by the way, I mean, we didn't live in like the rich part of town, but, you know, when Jack was, you know, growing up and we had, I mean, we were in, you know, we had a nice house. We, you know, we weren't in the slums or anything like that. And we traveled and did stuff. And, you know, we went to Greece. We went to New York. We, you know, I mean, he lived okay, you know, all those years without ever getting a paycheck.
Yeah. It's just so amazing, again, like the connection from Western Pennsylvania to Las Vegas and how y'all lived right next to each other. And this just developed your lives from there.
Yeah. So we have more stories on the other side of the break.
Absolutely. Jack Franzi. The latest name to be announced that will be inducted in the Bet Bash Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Again, in early August. Tickets available at betbash.co. Coming back with more Jack Franzi stories right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Chrissy Andrews joining us, as he always does, Tuesdays. Kind enough to do so here on A Numbers Game. Kelly was just mentioning off air that the Blazers and Heat are talking about a trade, but Kelly, what's the rub on this trade?
So this is a story from Jake Fisher at Yahoo Sports just coming down that there is he prefaces it with, hey, there's a lot that could still happen, a lot of scenarios that could play out, but he mentions that by their reporting that Portland has been working to get the best pieces around Damian Lillard all summer. That is all they have cared about. And one of the avenues they are exploring is a trade with the Miami Heat that has absolutely nothing to do with Damian Lillard. And it would be for Portland to acquire Bam Adebayo to add alongside Damian Lillard, Jeremy Grant, who they're likely to re-sign.
I'm not sure I get why Miami would do that.
I don't really know if I get why either side would do
it.
Yeah. I mean, what it would be, so back to Miami, the number three pick plus Anfernee Simons, Shaedon Sharpe, something like that. I mean, those guys are solid, but are you as sold they're going to be great in 5 years? I don't know that.
Well, we'll get back to you when Dame is involved in a Portland-Miami trade.
Well, I don't see how that helps Miami get, you know, up one more notch. You know,
I don't.
But if you got Damian Lillard, I do.
That's a whole different ball. I think they're a major. I mean, they were a major contender last year. I think they become a super major contender in the East, certainly, if they get Lillard. Yeah.
So here again, the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, because I want to get more Jack stories in and to get the point where why is he getting inducted to the Hall of Fame? But again, Bet Bash is going to take place August 8th through the 11th. Tickets available at betbash.co. Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, Billy Walters, Roxy, Lefty Rosenthal, That's Roxy Roxborough. Lefty Rosenthal, Bob Martin, Jackie Gaughan, Charles McNeil, who popularized the points spread, already named that they will be inducted in. Jack Franzi, Chrissy's Uncle Jack, is the seventh name. There's a nice shot of Jack. How old is he right there, would you say?
I'd say Jack's about 35 there.
Look at him.
In Greece.
Dapper.
Yeah, he's in Greece for sure.
Yeah, Mykonos.
Yeah, we found that picture when at his funeral. And
Wow.
I posted that. And somebody, like the newspapers posted this picture. You ever see that picture of me and Jack, like, in our cowboy hats? It's kind of like a joke. You know, they posted that in the newspaper.
Ugh.
And, the family, where they – I had nothing – I didn't have editorial.
That's right.
Anything, you know.
Before you get on with it, I don't want to let what you said before the break slide or gloss over it. But the three players to get four hits or more. But the other one is – one team to score more runs in one inning than the other team scores in their entire game.
Yeah.
I'd love to see those bets. And you made a great point off air, which is when you look at this is how emblazoned in our brains sports betting things are.
Yeah.
To this day, when you look at a box score, a little part of your brain still goes back to that bet. Like, oh, look, that would have won.
I mean, it's hard to say anything's 100%, but I'd say well into the 90s, you know, I look at that thing and that's like the first thing that clicks in my brain, you know.
That's interesting. They scored six in the bottom half of the fifth, and that was enough to beat them for the whole game. Okay, how did he become a Hall of Famer, though?
Well, you know, really, he made his life, like I said, he never had a paycheck till he was, you know, almost 50 years old. You know, and like I said, we certainly were not in poverty or anything like that. You know, he did fine for himself. But after that, you know, as he became legal under, you know, working for Michael Gaughan, and then he had Jimmy Vaccaro, and then, you know, we used to joke Jack was like the Northern Dancer of, you know, bookmakers and for horse racing fans. Almost many horses today trace back the Northern Dancer, and you can kind of say that in our industry too. A lot of us, you know, trace back to Jack.
Sired all of you.
Jack, yeah, through his son Zach, who's now on our side of the counter working in Mesquite for the last 7-8 years, something like that. But he was a better for a long time on his own, too. You know, my cousin Art Manteris, you know, me, of course. And then just go through how many guys, you know, came from that branch, you know. And then besides, like, Vinny Maiolo, you know, Johnny Avello.
By the way, it's Maiolio.
Yeah, I finally got it down after 49 years.
Like, you just met him.
I know.
Maliulo.
Are we having a spelling test or a pronunciation test? Because if we do, just give me an F and let's move on.
I love how you can never get it. Maiolio. Maiolio. Leo. Mayo.
Makes me feel better.
Can't it just be Smith or something like that? All these Italians.
I should introduce you to sometime.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. Yeah. I've always loved to meet him. Anyway, you go through and, you know, and then just go take the lineage from there, you know, like, you know, all those people that worked at the stations all those years. You know, my cousin Art was at the Hilton, the Superbook, back when it was established. You know, just trace the lineage.
The coaching tree, if you will.
Yeah, and how many of them trace back to Jack, you know, and that's, you know, he's been just he's had a huge influence, you know, on the legal gaming side here in Nevada, besides all the stuff that he did, you know, on his own. And, you know, that's his legacy.
From both sides of the counter.
Yeah.
Because obviously in the Billy Walters case, it's one side of the counter, right?
Yeah.
In the Bob Martin case, it's one side of the counter. But like Roxy and Jack are the two giants there, would you say, in terms of both sides of the counter kind of thing?
Yeah, even Roxy, I would say his was mostly on, you know, as a consultant on this side of the counter.
But Roxy was also like, you know, ballpark factor. He was like first guy to get that.
He did a lot of it, and then he slowly converted it. Now he's back to doing the same what he did back in the old days,
you know.
Mostly with horses and futures and things like that. Not so much day-to-day.
He wouldn't come on to do season win totals this year with us. You know why?
No.
He had this unbelievable record doing season win totals on a numbers game through the years, but he always vowed, he goes, if I have one bad season, I won't come on. He was like 2-3, wouldn't come on again. I was like, but Roxy, you're like 16-4 or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm sorry, I promise.
He's a quirky guy. He's a quirky guy.
Yeah.
I have some great Roxy stories too, obviously. Some of them are going to be in my new book that I'm working on, funny ones. But Jack, he did just had such a great influence, but he did work both sides of the counter. And back in the day at the Barbary Coast, all the way in the back corner of the coffee shop, that was Jack's booth. And there was a lot of stuff that, and if you got invited to the booth, that was a very special thing. You know, to go and sit with Jack and watch him operate and do some of the things that he was doing. You know, it was very special.
What was the story that sticks out from, we'll wrap it up here in the last 2 minutes, but the story you had when you were a kid, I guess it was you and your cousin Zach sitting with your uncle Jack and there was a football game on or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that? And
so, like, this is back in the day, like the local WQED, the public broadcasting station. On Tuesday nights, they would show films of a game, you know, not Michigan or Ohio State, but like Lehigh and Lafayette or like maybe some, you know, obscure Southern schools and all that. They would obtain the tapes. And I'm using Lehigh and Lafayette because I know they were on quite a bit, but I'm not sure that was the game. But anyway, one of those teams won by exactly 21 points. Now, this was Tuesday. And Jack got, and I can't remember that, but Jack got one of us, let's say me, to lay 21 and a half and Zach to take 20 and a half on the game for a dollar. Now that we're like seven, you know, and it was one of those things where like I had the Street and Smiths and I, and like what it spurred Jack, he says, oh, look, they got the wrong date. They had the game being played like on Saturday. Well, it's being played on Tuesday. So he got us. So Zach and I, we'd never miss a game ever. So we're watching the game, and all of a sudden, and like we've been doing this for like a year or 2 years, the tape got cut in the middle of the game, and it jumped. And I said, "Wait, this isn't live." I run to the paper, and I get the Sunday paper. And, wait a second, you know, this game was played Saturday. What did you do on the game? I took 20 and a half. I laid 21 and a half. They won, obviously, 42-21. And, you know, and Jack, so he made us pay.
Yeah.
And we go to give him a dollar. He says, no, when did you start betting even money? No, go get another dime, both of you. $1.10. Because you let me pass post you by 3 days.
Awesome story.
It's a valuable lesson that we learned that day as young, young kids.
You were smarter after that day than
we were
before.
Smarter after that day, for sure.
Uncle Jack. Jack Frazee. Who you got, you had lunches with him till he passed away.
It was my assignment every Friday, take him to lunch, which was an honor. An honor.
The latest name announced to be inducted into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, Spanky's Bet Bash, coming up in August. Get your tickets, betbash.co. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you, sir.